We're in week six of the series that we've entitled Focused. And what does it mean to be focused? Well, I found out in a very real way earlier this week. You see, for our family during this time of stay at home, it can seem like all the days just turn into a day and all the hours are just an hour. And it's really easy to lose routines. And so as a family, we've been trying to get up for the day, dress for the day, shower for the day, do schoolwork, eat on time, all those kind of things. And so Monday morning, I was getting ready, and I was about to take a shower, and I was shaving, and I was talking to Shalee while I was doing it, and I'm shaving, and all of a sudden, oh! I cut my lip wide open with my razor. And you know what my wife does? She laughs. And I'm like, I'm really bleeding. I mean, like, blood's going everywhere. And she's just laughing. And her response was, how long have you been shaving now? And I'm like, over 20 years. And she's like, yeah, you'd think you'd have it figured out by now. And here's what really it is that I lost focus in that moment. I was concentrating more on talking to my wife than I was about paying attention to this death device that was going against my lips. And I paid the price this week for that. And it's important to be focused, especially as a Jesus follower, to know what are we supposed to be doing, because no matter how long we've been a Jesus follower or how short, it's important that we stay focused on what we're supposed to be doing and do it. Today we're asking this question, does my story matter? Now if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. Because there is hope found in Jesus. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you at this time to open up your Bible app on your phone, or if you're watching online with us, you can use the Bible app built into our online church platform. And maybe you've got a paper Bible, and that's okay too. Let's open up to Mark chapter 5. We're going to be reading out the New Living Translation today, Mark chapter 5. And I just want to set up this story for you, because we're looking at a certain moment in time when Jesus is ministering. He gets over to another side of a lake that he traveled with his disciples, and this area that he was headed to was known for a guy who was crazy. You see, there was a cemetery and a guy lived in it who was ravaged and controlled by demons. He could not control himself. There would be times where the town people would try to contain him, try to control him, try to help him. And the demons just tormented him. And Jesus had come, and he'd come to his other side, and this wild guy comes running out. Ah! He's like, why are you here? Are you here to torment me, Jesus? And Jesus is like, I'm going to change you today. And the demons are speaking through this tormented man. And they said, don't just send us away, send us. There's lots of us. Send us maybe into those pigs over there if you're going to get rid of us. And Jesus is like, okay, dude, y'all gone. That's it. And everyone who was watching was like, whoa, something just happened to this guy. Something just happened that he is different. Something just happened that he is changed. And they looked at him and they said, wow, this guy looks like he's in his right mind. And this is where we're picking up our story today. In Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 18. It's time for Jesus to leave after he just spent some time with this guy who he just delivered from this demonic torment, who he made whole again. Verse 18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Let's pray. God, I pray that in the next few moments, as we unpack your word for us today, that you would speak to us. Lord, that you would challenge us, that you would change us. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. I'd like to welcome those of you that are watching online with us, as well as our mini crew that are here live with us in the room. And yeah, we hear from you guys that there are actually really people here, right? There we go. Yes, there's really people here. And we're looking forward to chatting with you in the chat rooms as we are sharing this live on Sunday at 10 a.m. And maybe you're watching even a recording of this. I just want to say welcome. We are glad you're here. Now, speaking of watching, it seems that watching, that this whole safer at home idea, this whole safer at home order that's been given to us by the governor is really just code language for start binging TV streaming services and be allowed to, and it's socially okay. As a matter of fact, I believe Netflix just this past week released a tweet saying they were removing the feature that asked, are you still watching after so many episodes? Because they know we are still watching. Now, I've been watching, and we have the Disney Plus app and service, and I love going through those movies. And so this week, it seemed that all the movies I watched all had a theme. I was watching Glory Road, and I was watching Remember the Titans, and watching Invincible, and watching Miracle. These are all sports movies. And man, were they good stories. And the best part about these stories is that they were true stories, and it was just fun to relive those moments and relive how they overcame adversity as the story unfolded, as we got just wrapped up in the characters as watching this. And whenever I watch true stories, my favorite part is at the end. Usually these movies all have the same thing, as that they'll show a picture or a video clip of each character, and they'll give text about what they're doing now. And I love reading that and seeing, wow, these are real people. This is a real story. This is not just a great idea somebody came up with to make a good, entertaining movie, but it really happened about real things in real life. You see, as a culture, we love stories. But I would say that more than just loving stories, we love good stories. I mean, that's why we rate movies and we rate TV shows. And is it entertaining enough? Does it speak to us? Does it reach us on a deep level? And if we were looking for sources of stories, we would find a whole book full of them. And that's the Bible. And it is through stories that we find out who God is and what he is doing. And in this passage we just read that Jesus had the power to speak to a demon-possessed man and command those demons to leave, to no longer torment him. Man, good story. As a matter of fact, the whole part with the demons speaking to him and saying, hey, just don't cast us out. There's a whole bunch of us. We're legion. Send us into those pigs. And Jesus is like, okay, go into those pigs. And the pigs began running and jumped off the cliffs and killed themselves. Whew, I can just picture that in my mind. That'd make for a great movie scene there. It's a great story. And when it's all said and done, Jesus is about to leave. It's like he only came to do something for this guy. Because it's time for him to leave. And we picked up in verse 18, the guy who had the demons taken out of him, the guy who had been relieved, the one who had been tormented, whose life had just been changed by an encounter with Jesus, he wanted to go with Jesus. He's like, Jesus, let me join you in the boat. Can I follow you? Can I go wherever you are? Because, wow, you changed me. I want to be with you. And Jesus is saying, hey, no, something different for you. And I actually love reading the Message translation of what he said in verse 19, and he says this, Jesus said, go home to your own people. Tell them your story, what the master did, how he had mercy on you. And why would Jesus want him to do this? You see, the Bible isn't just stories. It really happened. It's for real. And the message of the Bible is more impactful when we can understand and know that the God of yesterday can impact people today. This past Wednesday was April Fool's Day, and I desired to really pull off a good prank on my kids. And I was brainstorming all day, kind of really just leading up to it. It's like, man, I want to pull off a good prank on my kids. And finally it hit me that Wednesday afternoon, I came up with it. You see, every night we sit around the dinner table and we have dinner together. Maybe like you've been doing kind of like this mandated thing. We've all got nothing better to do but to eat dinner now together. And it seems that every time we get together for dinner, there's just something else that we read on a news release or a news clip that they've changed how they're doing school. And so we're having to tell the kids, well, you're going to have to start school, or you don't have school, or now you don't have grades, it's pass fail, or now you don't have 5 days of instruction, you have 3 days of instruction, or now you no longer have, you know, 10 hours of work, you only have 3 hours of work a day. And so every other day, there's always something new, so we came up with an idea. And I went on my computer and I created a graphic to make it look like there was breaking news from the local TV station that the governor was having trouble with students actually doing their work, that the whole pass-fail system was not working, and that he just said, hey, every kid is going to have to repeat their grade next year. And so I posted it to my timeline on Facebook, and then my wife was in on it, and at the dinner table, she pulled up her Facebook, and she's looking, she's like, whoa, kids, new breaking news. It looks like the governor just made a new order that we have to all repeat the next grade next school year because of this COVID-19. And boy, were my kids upset. They're like, no, it can't be. Regan, who's my junior in high school, he's like, I'm not doing this year again. This is wrong. No way. And they kept on asking, is this really for real? Is this for true? And we're trying really hard, trying not to laugh. We're like, look at the phone. It's on social media. It must be true. But we couldn't hold our laughter and our smiles that long to where they finally figured it out. But the funny part of it is that because I posted it to social media, then a lot of people saw it too. And they began looking at it and they're like, whoa! They began sharing it and saying, wow, look at, can you believe the governor's doing this? And wow, we're going to have to repeat school. And some people are like, no, that's just a joke. And other people, they started bashing the governor. Why would he make a decision like this? And oh, he doesn't care about the kids anymore. He doesn't. And I'm just thinking, if you only knew, I'm the one who created the graphic. I drew it. I put it together. It really was fake news. It's hard to know what to believe and not to believe nowadays. And unfortunately, the Bible kind of gets thrown into that mix. Jesus gets thrown into that mix of, did that really happen? Is that really true? Is it fake news? You see, starting next week, we're going to begin a brand new series here at Focus Church, a series of messages that focus on that Jesus isn't fake news. That what happened and what he did and how he saved us is real news. And it's not just for a long time ago, but it's for you today. See, Jesus knew that this man's story of being delivered from this torment from demons, it would spread. That people would talk about it. And that it would go out and there would be people who would believe it and there would be people who would not believe it. But this guy's story, if it came from the guy himself, Jesus understood that no one could deny that it really happened because we see the evidence, we see the proof, we see the changed life, we see something different standing in front of us, someone different, that obviously he has been affected by Jesus. You see, your story is proof that God is real. The work that God does in your life and how he has changed you, how he has saved you, how he's given you hope, how he has healed you, how he has provided for you, how he has answered your prayers, that is proof that he really exists, that this isn't fake news, this isn't stories from long ago meant to entertain us, but this is for real, a true story. You know, maybe some of you are thinking, does God care? And there's someone I know named Hope who talked to me at the end of last year. She went through a tragedy of her husband passing away. And she shared with me, she said, Pastor, I don't know if it's all going to work out. Like, I don't know how my income's going to be and how benefits are going to work. And everything was tied to him. And I just don't know what's going to happen. And she kind of kept me up to date on the story as weeks went by. And she told me a few weeks later, she said, I've got some really bad news. I've talked to the government who are figuring out what we're supposed to do. And they said, yeah, we'll look at your case. But just to let you know, it takes half a year to figure out what we're going to do for you. And she's just sitting there saying, that's a long time. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I wonder if God even cares. But as soon as she even thought those thoughts, she was also saying, you know what? I know God does care. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God provides. And so then she announced to me, she said, you know what? I believe that what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to keep on giving as if I was getting from the government what I'm supposed to get. I'm like, wow, that's some faith. And so she began giving as she waited. And just this past week, she said, Pastor, I got to tell you, the government came through. Remember when I told you it was supposed to be 170 days before they'd even do anything? Well, they did it in record time in under 60. And not only did they decide how much I was going to get, they decided that I'm supposed to get more. And not only did they decide I'm supposed to get more, but they're paying me back all the way back for everything I missed. And that is a story that's true. And it shows God cares. Maybe you're asking, does God answer prayers? And I've got a friend named Kevin who, at the beginning of this last month, he was praying and he was struggling because he had opportunities in front of him. He was wondering that he got extra job offers about, should I change jobs? And something came up where he should he buy a new house or not? And he came to me and he's like, Pastor, I need help. I need prayer. I need God to show me what I'm supposed to do. And so when we prayed, we asked God, God, we pray that you would give Kevin a sign that is undeniable, one that he can't dismiss, that it's from you, that would give him clear direction as which way he's supposed to go. And then we had coronavirus, and he got his answer. He shouldn't change a job. He shouldn't change his house. I talked to him last week, and I'm like, dude, maybe we should blame you. God was answering your prayer. We're giving you a very clear instructions on what you're supposed to do next. But God does answer prayers. Or last week, it was amazing. I loved hearing Pastor Andrew speak about investing in the next generation. And he shared a story that happened to his mom about praying over a car that turned out to not even have a battery in it. And they drove it to the doctor and drove it back home and parked it in a different place. And I'm like, whoa, dude, that's awesome. God answers prayers. God cares what we're doing. But you know what? You know what would be even better? If you were hearing from Hope about her story. It'd be even better if you were hearing from Kevin about how God answers prayers. And the story with the car, even better than Pastor Andrew sharing it secondhand, be better if Pastor Andrew's mom was sharing it with us and sharing that she was the one who prayed and God answered her prayers and she was in that car that turned out to not have a battery, right? And so, since all you've got is me right now, let me share a real story that's my story. You see, I was blessed with a car shortly after getting married with a really nice green Honda Accord, and I loved it, and it was our main car. And we took it to each place that we ministered to and the different churches we served in, and At this moment in time, it was about 15 years ago, we were traveling from Missouri to Seattle, that we were going to help plant a church in the Seattle area. And so I was taking this car across the country, and the car was starting to have some issues. But we drove it cross country, and as we drove it, it was having issues. And the issues it was having was in relation to the transmission. You see, it was starting to slip gears, or even when you were in gear, it would pop out of gear, or we'd be just driving along and it would stop working, and it all had to do with the gears and the transmission. And we didn't know anybody as we were getting to Seattle, and we were talking to some friends from other places saying, hey, here's what's happening to the car. And they're like, whoa, your transmission is going bad. You need to get this service now. And I'm like, I have no money. I don't know where I am. I'm going into a brand new city. We're going to start a church that doesn't even exist yet. And they're like, I don't even know how we can help you. So with nowhere else to turn, with not knowing what to do, with the car that's failing, a car that we need to be able to get around, to get a job, to do what we need to do, I prayed. I said, God, I believe you sent us here. I also understand that you've blessed us with what we have. And I also know that if we don't have a vehicle, it's going to be hard to do what we're supposed to do. So God, I'm laying hands right now on this car that you make it do everything it needs to do, so that we can do everything we're supposed to do. So a car with a transmission failing all of a sudden starts working. And I'm driving it around Seattle, and it's not slipping. We continue using the car. We're driving on the highway. We're driving in neighborhoods. We're planting a church. We're carrying people in it. And there are no issues happening with the transmission. As a matter of fact, that car had zero transmission issues for the next 10 years that we owned it. True story. God heard our prayers, and he answered our prayers. First-hand story from me. You see, if you don't remember anything else about this message, I want you to remember this one thing, this one truth, this one idea that matters the most here, with being focused. Is that growing people change, and that we need to share our stories. We've got to share them. The stories of how God is changing us, how he's growing us. And I grew in my faith when I prayed over that car and God answered. I mean, what other car mechanically self-heals? It could only be pointed to that it was God, and that God cared to provide for what we needed as we obeyed him with what we were doing. Now, it's amazing when it happens to me. It's amazing when I grow in my faith, but you can grow in your faith if I do one thing with that story, and that's sharing it with you. You see, this guy who was living in a cemetery, who was tormented by demons, his life was changed by Jesus. And Jesus' instructions weren't, hey, come follow me. Yeah, come be with me. Hey, just go live your life. He was like, no, you go tell your family. You go tell everyone you can. You tell them how I was gracious to you, how I showed mercy for you, how I helped you. Share your story. I believe that the best God stories, the stories where we get to hear about God doing something amazing, begin with the phrase, this doesn't normally happen. You see, if God can do something for me, and if God can do something for you, your story can be all that's needed to help somebody else believe and to have faith, to believe that the God who helped you can help them too. See, I mentioned lately that we've been sitting around the dinner table. We've been eating dinner together as family, and the meals have been amazing. And my wife started up a thing that we do every night, and that is that each night we ask the question, what was the best part of your day? And everyone has to go around the table, and they have to share what was the best part of their day. Now, we've been doing this for several weeks now because we've been eating dinner at home, and the question has been the same, and nobody has been skipped, but it amazes me that every time the question is asked, it's like blank looks go on all of our kids' faces, like, what did I do today? What I don't know what happened today. And they have trouble coming up with what the best part of their day is, and sometimes they can only remember the last bite they ate, and the best part of their day was, wow, that piece of garlic toast I just ate. And at first I'm thinking, wow, come on kids, you can do that, until, you know, I'm in the line at the end that I've got to share the best part of my day, and I go blank too, and I'm like, wait, what did I do today? What was the best part? There were so many good parts, and how can I pick just one? But in order to be able to share what the best part of your day was with the family like that, you actually have to be looking throughout the day, realizing that question is going to be coming. And so I should be paying attention to what I'm doing. I should be looking for a good story of what the best part of my day was so I can answer that question. And when it comes to you and it comes to God working in your and growing you and changing you, you should also be looking. You should be looking for your next only God situation. You see, when you find yourself in a spot where you don't know what to do, you don't know how this is going to work out, you don't know what's coming next, when you're afraid or you're alone or you don't know what you can do, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, and you're like, whoa, what am I going to do? You are in an only God situation. Which means you are in a spot with your life that the only way something is going to change, the only way that something is going to be different, is if God intervenes on your behalf and does something amazing. An only God situation. And when you find yourself in an only God situation, this is a moment to recognize, saying, whoa, I need to pay attention about what happens next, because this is going to be a good story someday. You see, that actually just faced us 3 weeks ago. Pastor Andrew and I were in the middle of doing all the work to merge our two churches together. And we're figuring out the ins and outs and how this works. And all of a sudden, coronavirus, COVID-19 happens. And we're like, wait, what a second. We're joining two churches together at the exact same time they say, hey, you can no longer have church. And we're looking at this saying, wait, God, did you mess up? We thought about it. We're like, no, God knew that this was happening before we knew it was going to happen. God's the one who directed us on this timeline and this pathway. But as we began analyzing all the impacts that could happen, if they say we can't meet, if they say we can't gather together, if they say we got to be disbanded for any period of time, you know, how are we going to stay afloat? How are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to collect offering? What about people who've never given before? They've never given online before. Would they make the switch? How about somebody who's never watched a church service before online? Are they going to just stop going to church and they're going to feel alone and lose their faith? And it was all these what ifs. See, we were in a spot. I promise that was a cough because I was choking and not because I have a disease. Now my eyes are watering. Pastor Andrew and I were in a spot where there was a big unknown. We're doing something that many would consider risky, to bring two churches together at the most inopportune time ever, in the middle of, hey, let's shut down every church in America. And at first, fear kind of gripped us. We're like, what happens if no one gives ever again? What happens if no one shows up ever again? What happens if they say just church just can't exist, the Focus Church can't exist anymore? What happens? We got to the point, we even traveled this down just even a step further, where we looked at saying, where can we get a job, like at Walmart or something, or Target? The only place is open. But then something happened. From deep within, we encouraged each other with this idea, saying, well, God knew about this before it even happened. This is not a surprise to him. And we are right now in the middle of an only God situation. And that means we need to have our eyes wide open, because there's about to be a great story of how God will provide. And our faith began to grow and began thinking, like, we're going to pay attention to what is happening here because God's about to do something amazing. And we felt peace in this, even though we didn't know what it was, but we knew there's going to be a good story that we're going to get to share. So we were worried about, will our church make it? And the month of March just finished. And our giving as a church, the money we need to pay bills and pay salaries and to keep the church going, and now we have two facilities we're keeping going, the money that came in didn't meet our budget. But in all actuality, it exceeded our budget. As a matter of fact, we went positive and went way past our budget. Our giving was so great that we were increased, both locations together increased by 36% in our giving in a month of craziness. And I look at that and say, wow, God, you're amazing. Why did I doubt? And he's saying, I know what I'm doing. I can do anything. And if God can do that for our church, God can do that for you too. That whatever you are facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on, recognize that you are in an only God situation and that you've got to turn to God and say, God, I need your help. God, I need you to intervene. I need you that only you can do what you can do here in my situation. But don't let it just be about helping you. Recognize it as an opportunity to share your story. That what you have seen, that you are going to share. It seems like so long ago, but at the beginning of March, we were traveling. We were flying on airplanes and going to different states and went to a conference, and everywhere that we traveled, I was noticing these signs, and there were security signs everywhere. And the security sign said this, see something, say something. It's talking about if you see something suspicious, speak up. Tell somebody about it. Just don't leave it to the wayside. See something, say something. And it reminded me of a story that I read in Acts chapter 4, the early church, and it dealt with Peter and John. See, there was somebody who had been lame all their life. And I'm not talking about they were just a sorry person to be around. No, they couldn't walk. And they were begging. And Peter said, look at me. He said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have is I do have Jesus. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And that guy got up and he could walk and he began jumping and leaping. He began praising God for what he's done. And the leaders of the temple, the priests, are like, whoa, what just happened? We need to gather these guys together. We need to do an inquiry. We need to do an investigation. And so they gathered Peter and John and this guy and they brought them before them. They said, by whose power? By how did you do this? And they began sharing that it was not because of them, but it's because of Jesus, who's been raised again by God himself. That it was in his name that this guy was healed. And you see the evidence before you right now. And the Bible describes in Acts chapter 4 how they were amazed at seeing Peter and John because they recognized these weren't priests. These weren't people who knew the Bible. These were unlearned guys, guys who didn't go to college. These were guys who did not study the Bible, and yet they spoke with boldness. And they knew who God was to them. They're like, what are we going to do with these guys? What are we going to do with them? Because we can't deny that something happened, so we need to stop that anything else would happen. We need to shut them up. So let's tell them, let's threaten them that they better not speak about Jesus, do anything about Jesus, don't talk about the story at all. And Peter and John replied with boldness right back to him. Acts 4:20 said this, whether it's right in God's eyes to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. As for us, there's no question. We can't keep quiet about what we've seen and what we've heard. You see, they couldn't shut up. They had to share their story, what they had seen and what they have heard. If you have seen God do something amazing in your life, you got to share it. You got to have that same boldness here of what they're talking about, that we are not going to keep quiet about this. No matter what you've gone through, here's what I do know to be true. Only God is the one who can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victory. That no matter what you have experienced, no matter what is going on, you have something to share that could be the right thing that somebody else needs to hear. So we're asking the question, does your story matter? You better believe it matters. But I don't have a great big story about how I was a terrible, rotten person and God intervened in my life and boom, I'm totally different. And you know, I struggle with that for my life for quite a while, saying, wow, I really like all those guys who are preachers, who have tattoos up and down their arms, who were in and out of jail, and God radically changed them, and then they're like bold for God. It's like, wow, they have an awesome story. I mean, it's evidence when you see that. I'm like, yeah, I've never even held alcohol. I've never even had alcohol on my lips. And I'm like, I got a boring story. And you know, my story matters too. Your story matters because your story reveals how God has worked in your life. My story reveals how God has worked in my life. And I know that I am a sinner that's been saved by grace. That if I did not know Jesus, I would be doing wrong. I would be bad. But I work each day to draw closer to Him. And I will share my stories of how I grow in faith and how I trust God and how I have self-healing cars. Because it could impact your faith and what you believe and your trust in God. You see, our stories do matter, but they won't matter if we never share them. You've got to decide right now that you will share your stories, because it can change someone's life. Earlier this week, one of our life groups, the Young Marrieds life group, they've been working really hard on Facebook to try to keep people connected, but I believe it was Monday, they released a video, and it was a surprise video, and it was a video collection of a bunch of people just recording a video on their phone wherever they're at, and it was all the wives of all the couples of the Young Marrieds in our Young Marrieds life group. And here's what the video said. It was a video clip of each wife sharing what they love about their husband. And they gathered these clips together, and some were in their living room, some were in their car, some were in their bedroom. I mean, just wherever they were at, some had their phones vertical, some had their phones horizontal. It didn't matter. They just took a phone and said, "This is why I love my husband." And they spoke for about 30 to 60 seconds. And they compiled these videos together into one video, and they shared that video and released it for all the husbands to see. And it was cool to be watching them and then kind of hope and anticipation that your wife was one of them, that they would eventually get to her video. And I looked at that and I thought, you know what? What if that's what we did with our stories? What if right now, we took out our phones, no matter where we are at, no matter what we're doing, we faced Him on ourselves, we hit record, we said, you know what? This is what Jesus means to me. Or this is how Jesus has answered a prayer for me. I was praying. And we record our story. Short, sweet, nothing too fancy, 30 to 60 seconds to say God is real. That God saved me. That my life is different, that He has answered my prayers, that He's given me hope, that He's given me freedom to speak into that camera and say, I don't know who's watching, but I want to tell you, I love Jesus and He has changed my life. Maybe you need to share how Jesus has healed you how he's provided for you, how he has taken care of you. Hit record, hit stop when you're done, and send it to me. I want you to send it to me. You can either email it to me or text me. Email is ryan@findfocus.org. Or you can text me on my cell. Number is 913-956-8637. And you may be asking, Pastor, why are you sharing your email address and why are you sharing your cell phone number and putting it public out to the internet right now? Here's why. Because I believe that you're supposed to send me your story, and you're supposed to send even more than one story because God's been doing things in your life, and that we're supposed to take those stories and help distribute those stories in creative ways to help other people know, yes, there is hope. Maybe your story is supposed to be shared next week when we say that Jesus isn't fake news, that he changes people's lives today. Maybe in a few weeks when we talk about how Jesus heals, that we can share your story of how Jesus has healed you. Maybe we even talk about Jesus providing, that we're going to share your story of how Jesus has provided. And there are going to be people who watch him and say, I don't know if I trust that preacher guy, but that real life video clip of someone sharing their story, that makes this whole thing real. It's proof that Jesus isn't fake news, but he's alive and well today. In the book of Revelations, it's talking about end times. And there's a passage of scripture that talks about how the church will prevail against the accuser. And the accuser is Satan himself, who spreads lies and accuses us of all sorts of things. And it talks about them prevailing. But they prevailed because of two things. They conquered him because of two things. One is because of the blood of Jesus, because of what Jesus did. And two, because they shared their stories. And those two things together right there, we're talking about a potent combination that knocks the enemy out every time. He wants you to be silent. He wants you to not talk about what God's doing in your life. He wants you to not share with anybody. But I think it's time, especially right now, that we go on the offensive. That Focus Church is going to share its stories. And I believe there's going to be video clips coming in right away, right after you hear this. And we continue to do this. You keep on sending your clips. If God does something, record yourself, send it to me. Ryan@findfocus.org or my cell, text it to me, 913-956-8637. Let's make a difference. Let's focus on this, that we will share our stories. Let's pray. God, we love you and praise you today. You are amazing. And you do amazing things. We sung earlier today about how you're a way maker and a miracle worker, how you keep your promises. And that's not just something we say, it's who you are. And it's not just who you are, it's something you are doing. You're doing it in our lives right now. So God, we see that we can't stay silent, that we can't not share what you are doing and what you are about. So God, I pray right now that it would just swell within us this idea that I can do something. I can share my stories. I can share about how Jesus is working me. That when I feel down, how Jesus uplifts me. When I'm afraid, how Jesus comforts me. When I am in need, how he provides. When I need healing, how he heals. When I needed hope, how he provides hope. God, I pray these stories that are about to come out of the Focus Church family on what you were already doing, and I believe it's going to impact lives. So God, I thank you in advance for the lives that we share, that the lives that will be encouraged, the lives that will be changed because we share our story. Help us, God, to have the confidence and faith that when we see something, we say something. That we'd have the same boldness as Peter and John, two guys who didn't even know the Bible fully, but they knew what they have seen and they knew what they have heard, and that's what they shared and would not stop sharing. So thank you for what you were about to do as we are about to go on the offensive here at Focus Church with sharing our story of how you are at work today. In Jesus' name. Now, I promised you earlier that if you need hope, that hope is found in Jesus. And no matter where you are at, no matter what you're doing, no matter when you are watching this, I want you to know there is hope found in Jesus, that he not only died for all the wrongs you do, God raised him from the dead. And because of that resurrection, which we're about to celebrate next week as part of Easter, there is hope found in Jesus. That there is life after death. That there is hope of a better tomorrow. That Jesus is powerful enough that he could conquer the enemy, that he could conquer death, hell, and the grave. And no matter what you are going through, no matter what you are doing, he can help you too. So maybe you've been hearing today about stories and how we got to share our stories. Maybe your story is starting right now. You may not even understand, why am I even watching this? Why? How did I even get to this point? It's because your story is being written about an encounter you are about to have with Jesus. You see, the best story begins with, this doesn't normally happen. I wouldn't think about watching this. I'm not even sure why I'm doing this, but I've heard somebody, and I've heard someone say there's hope found in Jesus, and I'm here to tell you that it's not just stories of yesterday. It's not just something written in a book. He is alive and well today, and he's changing lives today. He's changing me. He's changing you, and today you can make the decision to say, I'm turning myself over to him. You may say, Pastor, how do I do this? You simply pray, which is talking to God. And a couple things that you got to say. First, you got to believe. Believe that God would love you this much, that he would provide a way through his son Jesus that you could be saved. You got to say with your mouth that you are sorry, that you got to repent for what you have done. And you got to give him authority in your life. You've got to turn yourself over to him. And the Bible says at the moment you do that is the moment that everything changes. As a matter of fact, the Bible describes that that's the whole reason why Jesus came to this planet, is so that you could be in right relationship with God, and that your new story of your new life could begin right now. So I'm going to invite you to pray. You say, hey, Pastor, that's me. I want to do that. And I'm going to invite you to pray. I'm going to pray. You repeat after me. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask everybody who's watching right now that you would pray repeating after me, because nobody prays alone here at Focus Church. So let's pray. Dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I need you in charge of me. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son, Jesus, to pay the price for me. I give you all of me. Give me hope. Give me purpose. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.